Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
So the song that we're going to look at this morning is by far the shortest song of our season, but it is the very first song following the birth of Jesus. And the other interesting thing about this one is it is not a solo act, not like Mary or Zechariah, but it is sung by the largest of choirs. It is a song that resounds throughout heaven and earth. This is an incredible song, so I invite you to hear it with me. We're going to start in verse 13 to give us a little context, and the song is in verse 14. Would you listen with me to these words from the book that we love? It says this: "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all people on whom his favor rests.'" Amen. The timing of this song happens in perhaps the most important moment on that side of the resurrection. Right, this is the birth of Jesus, his coming, his appearance, the Son of God coming to the earth in the flesh. And it brings forth this song and its two powerful proclamations. The first is this: this song brings about heaven's praise of God. I want to ask you just for a moment, have you ever considered what this looked like to those shepherds who were living out in fields nearby Bethlehem? I mean, they're outside of town on a dark, starry night. They're away from the city, and I use quotes for city because Bethlehem was one of those places that if you blinked, you would not see it even as you're walking through. It's not a big place. There were not streetlights like here on every block and a half. There were not video billboards advertising businesses. They are outside of town, maybe away from a few candles in the windowsill. It was only the stars and maybe the reflection of the moon that prevented them from tripping over each other. So these shepherds are out on the hillside near town. And then suddenly it says, not just the one angel who first appears to them and shares good news of great joy, but it says, but suddenly a great company of the heavenly host. So those who reside in heaven suddenly appear on earth, and they do what they're always doing. They praise God. Can we try to imagine that for a moment? And as we do, I'm just curious, what sort of picture is formed in your mind? I have a few possibilities here. We can go to the first picture. Maybe the image in our mind looks something like this, where there's the one angel appearing before the shepherds, and then just over on the side, there's a few of his cronies over there, and I kind of picture a few, almost like a quintet over there, right? Maybe with a harp and a lyre and a cello and maybe a trumpet or two, and they're off to the side. Maybe that's something we picture in our mind, something like this. Or maybe if we look at the next picture here, maybe we see the angels kind of hovering overhead and sort of just beaming down light upon the shepherds that are there. Maybe that's the picture we get in our mind. Or maybe it's like this third one here, and where these angels appear, and there's sort of this vivid, translucent sort of way. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. I made a mistake. When I first looked at this picture, I thought to myself, those angels to me sort of look like Yoda or Obi-Wan after they die, and when they come back, and they sort of had that glow to them, and now I can't unsee it. And now you can't unsee it either. Or maybe, I'm so glad this picture is up. If you want to, feel free to turn around. I'm so glad this picture is here. In the very back of our worship center here, our friend Suki, who blesses us throughout the year with this artwork, this picture here, maybe that's something that we think of, where I love it, you have the shepherds at the bottom there, and then there's this spotlight that is there. And if you look really close within that yellow there, there's angels upon angels upon angels upon angels there. Maybe that's something we think of. Or maybe it's a little bit more like this picture that we have here. Yeah, I like this one. This one really helps me sort of shape my own mental model of what this must have looked like. Because when you think about what just happened, it was Jesus being born, which we talk about, Jesus, the inbreaking of the kingdom of God onto earth. And just moments later, heaven again breaks forth onto earth. The radiance and the brilliance of the heavenly host overwhelming, overtaking that dark night sky and coming before the shepherds there, just this mass of light. Isn't that beautiful? I like that image of this overwhelming sight as the angels come with their great song. Now, even with that, here's a thought for us. As beautiful as that is, and however you and I imagine the great company of the heavenly host and what it might have looked like on that holiest of nights, those were just a select few and a small fraction of the entire heavenly host who engage in continuous night and day, never ceasing worship and praise of God in the glories of heaven. Now that's a picture worth imagining, yes? Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God. The word glory is often used in two different ways in Scripture. In one sense, glory is often used as an adjective. And I know, kids, you're on break, right? Well, I know we have some of our youngest elementary friends here, but I think if we asked some of our elementary friends this morning, they would tell us what's an adjective, and they would say it is a descriptive word, yes? Yeah, thank you, Isaac, for backing me up on that. I appreciate that, right? Description: tall, short, fast, slow. Glory is used as a descriptive word to describe God. God is glorious. The other way that glory is used is more as a noun, a person, place, or in this case, a thing. That glory is praise. Glory is honor. Glory is magnificence and splendor and beauty and grandeur. This thing, glory, that the angels declare here in this passage, in this song, glory is given to God. That praise is directed to Him. Glory to God. Think about that. The birth of Jesus is reason to praise and lift high and to honor God, to give Him glory. I like what one of the commentators I was reading on this passage says of this, about this moment. He says, Joel Green says, the multitude's behavior demonstrates the appropriate response to God's gracious intervention of bringing a Savior. I know that is a tongueful, yes? But the behavior of the angels demonstrates the appropriate response to what God is doing in this moment, and that's glory. And not only glory, but the angels say, glory to God in the highest. Sometimes that's translated in the highest of heights. And that depicts some sort of location, like heaven. Sometimes it's translated a little differently, in highest of ways, and as if that is almost like an important thing to do. And I honestly don't think we have to separate the two. I think they both work together. Both can be true. That giving glory to God is this eternal, never-ceasing action that is taking place in heaven right now, this very moment, just as it was taking place in heaven before the dawn of creation, and just like it will be taking place at the very end of all eternity, if we can get our minds around that. And as people who are created in the image of God, we were created to bring God glory. And so for us, it is of utmost importance that this is what we do, not just for an hour on Sunday morning, but every moment of our lives, that we are bringing glory to God. This is what our life is about, to give God glory. There's another way to understand those words, the glory to God in the highest. And one commentator said this, I really like this, where he talks about how giving glory to God who is highest, that God is highest. And when you think about it, only our God, only this God, would do something as send his only son into this sin-stained world so that the world could be brought back to him. And only this God, only our God could do what we celebrate taking place on that holy night. And when we slow down just for a moment in the midst of this busy, busy season, and we consider all of this, how can we not come back then to the angel's proclamation, glory to God in the highest? This is heaven's praise erupting on earth. I read somewhere recently, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know how to verify it without giving it a whole bunch more time than I have right now. But I read that this song of the angels has been the inspiration for the most songs that we hear in this season. That could be true. That's probably true. But whether it's true or not, I believe that this song has certainly inspired one of the more famous Christmas songs of this season. At least the song that I always found as a kid growing up in First Reformed Hall, super fun to sing because you get to throw your voice all over the place and you get to speak Latin. Who doesn't want to speak Latin? You know what song I'm talking about, yes? It's called The Angels We Have Heard on High. Maybe this rings a bell. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about now? Yeah? All right. Well, here's the thing. I put the chorus of that song up there. And when I was thinking about this message, I thought, how fun would it be to teach us how to sing the four parts of this song, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. Because it's beautiful, and because the bass line is so much fun. And then I remembered, I'm not a music teacher, Gerald. I'm not a music teacher. And I think it would probably take quite a bit of time. So here's what we're gonna try. Maybe you've heard it, four parts. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you read music, maybe not. Here's what we're going to try. So we're going to leave this up here for a moment. And I am going to invite us to pause right now in the midst of this message and to praise God, to bring glory to God. And I would love to invite you to join me in this, but not just me, but to invite you to join the heavenly host that appeared with those shepherds there, and not just them, but to join with me and the heavenly host and the great heavenly host of all the hosts in all of heaven who right now are worshiping God with these words in every language and in every tongue, glory to God in the highest. Would you join me in that? So let's stand together. We can do this. And if you know the parts, or if you know how to read music, give it a try. I'll probably stay on the melody just to keep us going, although, ooh, that bass part is so much fun. But let's sing this together. Let's give God glory together. I'll give us a pitch. You ready? Does that work? One, two, ready, go. Gloria. In excelsis Deo, gloria. In excelsis Deo. Good job. Amen is right. Amen. Have a seat. Glory to God in the highest. Now, heaven's praise is only the first part of this song that is sung by the angels. The second part sings of earth's hope, and on earth peace to all people on whom his favor rests. It's saying, for on earth there is this promised proclamation of peace. And I know we are in the New Testament, but here that great Old Testament Hebrew word comes to light, the word shalom. We've talked about shalom here many times before. Shalom is not just the ceasing of violence. It's not just the opposite of discord or strife or division. Shalom is wholeness. Shalom is completeness. Shalom is having all the right amounts of all the right things. That's what's being declared here. And here's a couple of commentators. I know I'm referring to commentators a few times today, but here's a couple of commentators trying to attempt to capture what this shalom, what this promise of peace is all about that's being sung by the angels. So one commentator said this: this peace is a disposition characterized by inner rest and harmony. Another one said, this peace connotes the harmonious relationship that can exist between God and humanity. Even more, one commentator said, this peace expresses the nature of salvation as the restoration of good relations between God and people and the consequent reception of blessings. And then on a larger scale, another commentator said that this peace refers to an end-time condition as the salvation of humankind brought through Christ's reign. I know that starts to get pretty heady there, yes? And we're not going to unpack all of that stuff. But all that to say, what each one of these commentators is trying to tell us is that this peace we're talking about here, this peace that the angels are singing about, is not something small. It is not something trivial. This peace has an impact and has a ramifications both within ourselves and in our relationship with God and for the world as a whole. All of that peace because of the birth of Jesus. All of that because God so loved this world even though it's stained with sin. All of that because God so loved us even though you and I are dead in sin. All of that because God sends his one and only Son to pursue and achieve this peace, this grand reversal of sin's effects, this personal and universal ordering of the chaos, this mending of what was and what is broken and bringing forth wholeness. See, what God is doing in this peace is this masterful restructuring of what is into what will be. So when we talk about from sin to salvation, from guilt to forgiveness, from rupture to reconciliation, from shame to joy, from despair to hope, that's the work that God is doing and that is happening through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate so much his coming into this world. Because in him, this peace comes to earth. And in him, this peace comes to us. And on earth, all peace to all people on whom his favor rests. You know just as well as I do, there's a whole bunch of things going on right now. It is a crazy time. Everybody talks, oh, we're busy. Of course, yes, and there's so much going on, right? But when we boil this down and we get to the point of all of this, it's not so much about lights, although the lights are pretty. I do enjoy driving through we just drove on Friday night, Heather, through this whole neighborhood just behind here, behind Eason, just checking out the lights. It's beautiful. It's great. But it's not just about, you know, the presents that are under the tree. It's not just about decorations. It's not about the parties. But when we boil it down about why this, what is it about this season? Why do we yearn? Why do we long in this season of Advent? Why do we celebrate so when it comes to Christmas and the coming of Jesus? When we boil it, what's the point of this song? When we boil it down, it's saying that the birth of Jesus, through the birth of Jesus, God is extending his favor to us, a people who have done nothing to deserve it. And he is graciously granting us this peace. Is that not the heart of the hope that we have in this season, in the coming of Jesus?
And even as we say that, it still begs a question. It begs a question that I have heard asked many times before. And if I can be honest with you this morning, a question that I have asked myself. It's a question that comes out of the last part of this song, which is the hardest part to translate from the Greek. If you pick up any Bible translation, you'll probably see it translated in a different way, from goodwill to men, to with whom he is well pleased, to those who have his goodwill, and more. And you know, we're not going to dig deep into the Greek this morning and try to find the exact right way to translate this phrase, you're welcome. You're welcome, because that is not my jam. But I am more interested in talking today with you a little bit about the question that it brings up. Like I said, a question that I've asked, a question that you maybe have asked, or if not, a question you're soon going to ask. The question goes like this. Does that include me? Does God's favor rest on me? Can earth's hope be peace also for me? You ever asked that before? Like I said, I have. And that can sometimes be a pretty scary question. And it can bring us down some pretty deep theological rabbit trails. So in asking that question, I want to just share with you my understanding that I believe is rooted here in Scripture, both before our passage today and after our passage today and elsewhere there. And what I think it boils down to is two things and one response. What we see before our passage is that one angel shows up to those shepherds living out in fields nearby Bethlehem, and that angel says to the shepherds, this is good news of great joy that is for all the people. And then after our passage, in a song that we're going to look at on Wednesday evening here at Westview on Christmas Eve, it says that the birth of Jesus is a light of revelation for the Gentiles. So beyond just those who are a part of the people of Israel. So this good thing that is happening, this birth of Jesus for which we give God glory, it's good news for everyone. It's good news for the whole world. And then the question really boils down then, so then is God's favor, or sometimes that's translated as God's grace, does that rest upon you and me? Now, I don't mean to sound flippant in my response on this, but I'll just say it this way. Are you here today? Are you here today? Are you here hearing about this good news of great joy? Are we here today learning about this glory of God and glory given to God and this incredible peace and shalom that God has orchestrated? See, I say that because the very fact that we are here is God's grace. It's not by chance. It's not by coincidence. It's not by luck. It's not because we looked ahead at the calendar and said, we're going to go visit family on this weekend. But you are here and I am here by God's divine appointment. We believe in the sovereignty of God in all things, including this day, in this moment, in this scripture passage, in this song that we are studying together. I believe God wanted you and me here today, not because we're so great and cool, though I think we are, and not because we are deserving of it, because we're not. This is God's favor. This is God's grace that we are here. This is good news of great joy for all the people, and God's grace upon grace is upon us, even into this very moment. So those are the two things, and here comes the response. Because the last piece, this one's on us. This week, I can imagine just how many Christmas gifts are going to be handed out from underneath the Christmas tree, right? And there'll be gifts in our own homes and in grandparents' homes and in friends' homes. All these Christmas gifts are going to be handed out. These gifts are going to be given out. Just like God's gift of peace that is given through Jesus. Just like God's gift of peace. When those presents are handed out, they have to be received. They have to be accepted. This is good news for us all. God is at work, grace upon us, but we must receive it.
Receive the hope that is in Jesus Christ. Trust in him. To believe in the salvation that is found in his life and his death and his resurrection. To profess our acceptance and what God is doing through Jesus. And he is Savior of our lives. And to commit our lives to living with Jesus as our Lord, including our confession and renouncement of our sin and that intentional pursuit to seek sanctification and further Christ's likeness. See, Westview, Earth's hope is here within this song. Peace that is sung of here, that peace can be our peace, can be your peace, can be my peace when we receive the good news and we put our trust in the one who the angels' birth sang about. And we pray that maybe so. That as we look at this angel's song of this season, it's heaven's praise, glory to God, and it's earth's hope, peace on earth. And Westview, may this song and all that it encapsulates, may it be our song in this season and in every season. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray together. Holy and glorious God, this morning we do join together with all the company of the heavenly hosts in giving you glory and praise. And as we contemplate the true meaning of this season, your unconditional favor, your grace resting upon all of us in the coming of your Son Jesus, in the peace that he brings, the peace that is within us, the peace that is with you, the peace that is for this whole world. If you start to think about all of this, God, it's so overwhelming. And so what else can we do but glorify you? And through us now and always. God, what a gift it is to come together this morning in this Advent, nearly Christmas season, and to be able to join our hearts together in this moment in prayer as a covenant community of faith. We thank you that you invite us to pray and that you hear our prayers. And God, that you answer our prayers according to your infinite wisdom. And so together, God, as a congregation, we pray. We pray for traveling safety for so many that are on the roads in the next few weeks. We know already many have gone, many are coming, many here and there. We ask for your protection. God, we pray for health and healing and wholeness during this time, and we know it's hit even our own house over this past week, and I've heard of others this morning too who are sick. There's sickness, God. We ask that you bring healing. God, we especially lift up Catherine today. We pray for blood pressure to stabilize, for peace as she waits. God, we pray for Debbie this day. We pray for wisdom for the doctors to identify the cause of those seizures and for a remedy to come quickly and that she can continue to rest well. We pray for Diane this coming week, the angioplasty procedure. We pray that all will go well for her. Lord, we thank you that it's winter break for students and teachers. We're grateful for a time of rest and restoration, renewal. God, we pray for gatherings of friends and families over the next several days. We know that in so many cases, there's such great joy in connecting. We also know, God, that sometimes there's moments that can be stressful and add a little tension. We would pray that you would be gracious in each and every home. God, we also thank you for the incredible work done by our kids in the program last week and the youth with their fundraiser breakfast. And God, we give you thanks today for generous hearts and for the money that was raised to support our young people. We already pray into the new year and for the opportunities near and far that will impact faith and help us all to grow in our relationship with you. And God, this morning, we give you thanks for the greatest gift of all, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We would ask that today, Wednesday evening, Thursday, and then every day, he would be our focus in this season and always. So we pray all of this in his precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.